Dear friends in Christ, the scripture readings this morning are very powerful, they're dramatic, they speak to us of the most important things there are. Why we are here, where we're going, the dangers that lie along our path, and what we must do to reach eternal life, the reason that God made us. Jesus reminds us here that not everyone is going to get to eternal life. Hell exists. Eternal separation from God is real. We don't like to hear about that much these days. And I've often thought it's rather unfortunate, you know, that at funerals in recent years, with the white vestments that we use and the general atmosphere seems to be, well, we know for sure they're in heaven. The dear departed is in heaven now. We don't know that for sure. That's why the church also uses its prescribed purple vestments and even black vestments where that's the tradition. A darker color to remind us there's a reality of sin. And as St. Paul says in another part of the scriptures there, that the day of judgment, it'll be like being tried as if through fire, a purifying fire that burns away dross and impurities and bad stuff so that what comes out is beautiful and pure. That's something like what we understand by purgatory. Maybe most of us are going to need that purification before we reach the glory of heaven. So the Lord reminds us that we don't get to heaven just by drifting along and taking it easy and doing whatever our impulses tell us to do. It requires obedience to the Lord, faith first of all, keeping His commandments, and if we fail, as we often do, He's given us a sacrament there, confession to renew our relationship with God. But we do have to make an effort. As the Lord warns very clearly here, there'll be some people who are going to get a terrible shock when they die. They've been assuming they're going to get to heaven, and He's going to say, "Depart from me, I don't know you. Away from me, you evildoers." "Oh, but Lord, we were with you, we knew you, we did this and we did that." And you didn't fulfill the one thing needful, which is loving God above all things. And your neighbor as yourself. Loving God above all things. We live at a time when the prevailing philosophy is just pretty much humanistic. If I'm good to my neighbor, it doesn't matter whether I think about God or not. No. Everything we have we owe to God. Our first duty is to honor and worship God. The second reading this morning reminds us that God is a loving father, but a father disciplines his children. He doesn't mean to say that everything bad that happens to us in life, our sicknesses, difficulties, unemployment, it's all a punishment for some particular bad thing we've done. It's not in that sense. But discipline in this sense that God allows sufferings and trials and temptations and disappointments and pain in our life as a means for us to come closer to Him, as a means of strengthening our faith when there's a temptation to just give it up, as a means of strengthening and growing in courage when there's the temptation to just run away or stop persevering in what we need to do. The trials and sufferings of our lives are disciplined, which our loving Father permits to give us an opportunity to grow and become greater men and women as humans and Christians, precisely by accepting and facing up to these hard times and difficulties and disappointments and pains in our lives. And finally, brothers and sisters, we're reminded by today's readings that there's a beautiful, joyful side to all this. The Lord warns us that not everyone's going to get to heaven. But on the other hand, he's telling us here that God wants everyone to reach eternal life. He's given us free will, so if we choose to turn away from him and live lives centered on ourselves and not repent of that right until the moment of death, we're going to be going to hell, eternal suffering and separation from God. God doesn't want that for anybody. He gives us abundant graces throughout our lives to enable us to walk with him, to persevere, and to reach the destiny which he wants for each one of us, the eternal joy of being with God forever in paradise. So he says here that people are going to come from the east and the west and the north and the south, the pagan nations. That's the message of the first reading this morning too. The prophet Isaiah sees that nations from all around the world are going to come to God. Back at that time, the Jews had the idea that we're the only people that God cares about. We're the God's chosen people. Nobody else is important. Isaiah's prophesying there, no, God loves everybody. And eventually, everyone, for every race and tribe and tongue, is going to be given the opportunity, the invitation, before they die, to know God and to be with him forever. So that calling of the pagan nations to God is a great part of the message of today's scripture readings, and it fits very well with the saint whom we're honoring in a special way today. We're celebrating today, on the Sunday closest to his feast day, the co-patron of our church here, Saint Stephen of Hungary. We have him right here above the pulpit as I speak. And what a wonderful example he gave to his nation. When St. Stephen became king of Hungary as a young man, the Magyars of Hungary at that time were very largely still a pagan people. They hadn't been influenced by the gospel for very long at all. And Stephen gave a wonderful example of leadership in that. We're thinking about God as our Father and what he does for us as his children. Saint Stephen left a beautiful letter as a spiritual testament for his son who was to become the next king of Hungary. And for his feast day today, the church gives us, amongst the prayers that in the divine office, the prayers for today, a reading from this beautiful letter that Saint Stephen wrote and left when he was old and dying as a testament for his son. Just read you a couple of little bits from this. I think they're very inspiring. My dear son, if you would grace the kingly crown, I advise and counsel you above all things to preserve the Catholic apostolic faith with such care that you may be an example to all the subjects given to you by God. And all the clergy can say that you are truly a Christian. In our kingdom of Hungary, the church is still a young and tender plant. For this reason, there is all the greater need for more prudent and evident watchfulness, so that the great gift bestowed by the divine mercy on us, unworthy as we are, may not be destroyed and brought to nothing through your apathy, indolence, or neglect. End of quote. Yes, apathy, indolence, neglect. Those are the kind of temptations that all of us are very prone to yield to, because they're subtle, you know. Most of us, if we're practicing Catholics, we're probably not going to commit murders or terrible crimes and stuff, but we can little by little lose our zeal, our fervor. Our faith can become kind of routine. We become apathetic. Let this wonderful example of Saint Stephen inspire us as we remember today not only Saint Stephen, but the wonderful heritage that he's left in a nation that became Christian. Here at the back of our church, we have photographs of men and women who died under persecution, the communists and Nazis, many of them their faith, heroes of the faith, in the land from which many of you come originally, from Hungary. We give thanks to God for them today as well, for that wonderful Christian heritage of Hungary. And today, that heritage is struggling, but certainly alive and well. Hungary, in many ways, has been giving an example to the Western Christian nations. The recent constitutional amendments recognizing that human life begins from conception, that marriage, true marriage, is between one man and one woman. Of course, these things are very politically incorrect these days, but Hungary has been taking a stand on them. So let's give thanks today, ask for the prayers of St. Stephen for the great land of Hungary, give thanks to God for all that Hungary has done for the world, for the martyrs, for the witness to the faith that that land has provided, and pray for a renewal of faith there and through our own communities right here in America, particularly those with Hungarian heritage, as we rejoice on this very special day. Thank you to God, thanks to the Blessed Mother, and thank you to St. Stephen, intercession with God for our needs today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.